Okay, we're starting Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. Midarchei Tshuva Lios Hashav Tzoeg Tamid Lefnei Hashem B'Bichi U'B'Tachnunim, which means that the way of someone who's a Baal Tshuva is to constantly be crying, Tzoeg Tamid Lefnei Hashem B'Bichi U'B'Tachnunim, to cry in supplication and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we know V'Oset Tzak V'Kocha, we know Tshuva Tfilah and Tzaka, so also to give Tzaka as much as he's capable of doing. Why is that part of the Tshuva process? Why is it stuck a necessary part of the Darchei Atshuva? I'm not sure. Anyone have a suggestion? Why do you think it's stuck as part of it? What's that? So you're saying most chatan that we have are based upon our own self wants, our own desires. So to go like to the Rambam's Beinoni, to the idea of going the other direction completely. So we're just starting Halacha Dalet just now. So the idea of a person giving stukkah is, why is that part of tshuva? As Perek Beis Halacha Dalet says, part of tshuva, or part of the Darchei Tshuva, is to give stukkah also. So Ehud's suggesting, it's a nice suggestion, that since most of the time we make a chet, it's very selfish, so you have to kind of go the other direction and try to give stukkah to combat your selfish nature. What's that? Not a kapara, but it's from Darchei Tshuva. Among the derech of tshuva is to do something like that. Yeah.
I think it's more like when we do a sin or whatever, we care a lot more about our money or tzedakah, like money we have, than the sin we actually do. So by when giving tzedakah, that shows we care more to doing kapara for the sin we did, and we're giving up tzedakah. That's what we really care about.
I mean, the money we care. So you're saying it's not about making yourself selfless. It's about like showing God how much you care. So since stuff is so important, the money is so important to us, so kind of to demonstrate how much you care. Okay, could be. He doesn't really say here. He quotes over here. He quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which describes that there are four things that are mikra and gzara dino. We know tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. We'll see another one in a minute that he's about to mention. He says misrachik harbi min adav shechata. But we mentioned yesterday again that there's an idea of not putting yourself in the same situation, even though tshuva gemura is the same situation over again. It's the idea of not doing that, and you should distance yourself a lot from the thing you made a mistake in. Umishana shmo. This is a very strange one. Change your name. Kilomar, she'ani acher. It wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. You got the wrong guy. It wasn't me. Ve'eni osa isha asa osa anam isim. And I'm not the same guy that did that action.
Yes, we do when you're
changing
your
name
on
the basis.
What do you mean? I've changed God, not the same person I used to be. So don't judge me on that person, because that's not me anymore.
Okay, it's true. We do say it, but it is just a little bit bizarre. It's a little. Say again? Correct. It's true. They had a lot. They had a certain lot that Hashem, that they were stuck. The stars, so to speak, had them stuck at a certain place. And by changing the name to adding a hey to Avraham, changing yud to a hey, from Sarai to Sarah, it changed a lot. There we could say a little bit differently. There we could say that there's an idea of your mazalot. Your mazal is puts you in a limitation. But imagine a court of law, the following scene. You go into the court of law, and DNA is your DNA. Fingerprints are fingerprints. There's a picture of you waving to the camera, and it's identical to you. And you're like, wasn't me. What do you mean it's not you? That guy's name, you know, is Frank. My name, though, is Joe. And it's true, I was Frank, but I'm now Joe. So how can you try me for what crimes that my former self would have committed? That's a crazy claim. You know, because Baruch Hu, it sounds like over here, accepts that claim. So we mentioned a little bit yesterday, and just to reiterate, it's a very important part, is that I'll give you just a proof for it. There's a famous story, we all know it, the story of Yishmael with Hagar in the desert, and they're dying. They're dying of starvation in the desert. And Yishmael Dav, actually, I recommend that, is speaking a little bit about the Parsha. So the sixth Parsha we have is Parsha's Kitetze, and it coincides with the Ben Sora Umora. The Ben Sora Umora is someone that we judge for future crimes, right? A movie called Minority Report, if you've never ever seen it before, and based on crimes you've yet to commit. So that concept exists in Judaism. We believe in that. Because Baruch Hu knows what you're going to do. If you do certain things already, he knows what you're going to do. And therefore, you get judged in crimes you've yet to commit. You get killed even for it. But the question is, that we know the story of Yishmael. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah brings down and says that when Hashem wanted to save Yishmael and Hagar in the desert, so the angel said, well, not so fast. Why are you creating a body of water to help them out when in the future, as we just witnessed, you know, on the Syrian borders now, they all want to get at us at some point in time. Why are you wanting so that the future descendants are going to kill us? They're going to kill your children. Isn't it better just to leave it right now and not continue on? And the response that Baruch Hu said was, Bashir Rusham, right now, is he Rush or is he Tzaddik? One second. Right now, he was kicked out of the house because he painted a bullseye on Yitzchak's back and was making him his target for target practice. That wasn't so long, that was a few days ago. Now, and so the answer that I'm not going to say is, he's a Tzaddik now. How can he be a Tzaddik? So the answer is, the Gemara, the Torah there says, Bashir Rusham, you judge a person where he is right now. So Mishanah Shemo means that if a minute ago I was a certain guy, and now I'm somebody else right now. No, I'm not that guy. I have the same exact name. You know, you heard the boxer George Foreman? You're the boxer? So he had like six kids that were all named George Foreman. It was like the first, and the second, and the third. So he's like, no, I'm Avi Schneider the second. I'm not the first, I'm the second. I'm a different person right now. And it's mamash, it's a claim that in the court of law would get you thrown into a psychiatric ward. But in Judaism, it gets you off the hook. That's how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, is that if you really can demonstrate, and you mean it, you actually mean you're a different person, no matter what you've done up till now. The moment that you're being judged, just for that 1 second, all other evidence is thrown out the window. Just who you are right now, Asher Hashem, it's all you're judged about. Mishana Shemo means that you change around who you are. You change your name, which is your identity. We know that Adam Rishon, we said, named every single animal. The Sforna said, what do you mean, name the animals? What does it mean? What's the significance? The name is the essence of something. The name is the essence. It means that if you change your essence, even though, of course, you're the same person, at least you were that guy a day ago, but now you're Nila, or you go to Shopee, you're someone different, so you're someone different. And that's Mishana Shemo. He goes on and he explains, Mishana Masav, obviously, Mishana Masav, Kulam Latova, Uderach Hishar. If you change your actions completely, you know, that really makes the Mishana Shemo. The goal of Mimkomo is another interesting one also. If you go, you leave Mimkomo, you leave your place. What's why is putting yourself in Gullus? Why is that part of the Chuba process? So anyone who's ever had to, you know, so that's part of it, it could be self-reflection. But it's also an issue of humility. No one knows who you are. You know, you're not the guy anymore. You have to ask people for help. You don't have your own home even. There are stories of many great Gedolim who would go into hiding in Gullus as a means of humility. So when you realize that people tell stories that when very rich people were advised at some point in life they had to knock door to door to collect money for someone else first. Why? Because when you know it feels like on that end of the spectrum, and knows it feels like on the other side of the door, you know how hard it is to knock and ask for money. So when someone asks on your door next time, you feel more pain in what he's going through. So a person goes to Gullus, it's part of the tshuva process because it's humbling. And again, most things that we do wrong is because we're arrogant. Because we think about ourselves, because we're arrogant. If we thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the entire time, we'd do very little bit wrong. So part of being Golem Mekomo says over here, Shigalus Mechaperis Avon, they should go Remeso Lichana, because says Rambam, that Gullus causes you to be subjugated, to put yourself down, because Ana V'Shafel Ruach. And again, since most crimes start from arrogance, from haughtiness, Kas is from arrogance. How is Kas from arrogance and haughtiness? Because you get angry because you feel like that I shouldn't have had that happen to me. I'm better than that. Who do you think you are talking to me that way? So most things that we have cause from a certain level of entitlement. So when you're Megali yourself, you get gullus from things that you live in, that puts you in a certain perspective where it's hard. It's hard now to go through that. It's very, very humbling. Okay. Halachay, paragraph halachay. V'shevach gadol l'shav shizvadeh b'rabim. Again, very interesting thing over here. We think we should kind of hide our crimes. It's a little bit private. We don't want to publicize it. Says the Rambam, it's a tremendous praise for the guy who in public will admit what he did wrong. In public. V'yodia p'sha'av lehem, and he informs everyone just exactly what he did. U'megala aveiro shebeinu l'ben chaveiro l'acherim. And he tells others, this is what I did wrong to this person. And you admit every crime that you did. It's actually a famous machlokas between the Chavetz Chaim and Rav Yisrael Salanter. If you tell lashon hara to somebody, about someone, and you have to ask for tshuva, so do you tell him what you did wrong? He doesn't know. He doesn't know what you did. But I call Dovi over to Dovi. I'm really sorry for saying the following things about you. Now, it may be hurtful and terrible, and I have to get mechila, but by telling Dovi, I'm just like opening the wounds. He never even knew about it. So the Chavetz Chaim, you got to tell Dovi what he did wrong. And the story goes, the Chavetz Chaim actually gave to Yisrael Salanter his sefer Chavetz Chaim to kind of overlook, to look over, and to write a haskama for his sefer. And the Rosh Hashanah looked at it, and he says, it's a beautiful sefer, but I can't write a haskama. So he said, why not? He says, one thing I don't agree with. I don't agree with that halacha I just mentioned. I don't agree with the fact that you tell the person what you said about them. How could you do that? You're creating lack of shalom by doing that. It's true you did something wrong, but why would you do another thing to make it more hurtful? So says the Chavetz Chaim, you know what? Why don't you sign my sefer and say it was a great sefer, except for that one halacha I don't agree with. So he goes, I'm not going to do that because no one ever reads those things anyway. So they're going to see my name on it, think I like everything about it. I'm not going to sign it all. And he doesn't sign it in the end. But that idea of whether or not you tell the person what you did wrong or not, what you did to them, that's a big machlokus over here. So over here, the Rambam says, you should be megale averish ben olav ben chaver ula acherim. V'yomer lehem, amnam chatasi leploni v'asiso kach v'kach. V'reini yoyom shav v'nicham. And part of the process, again, of tshuva is admitting it. Not only admitting it, but admitting to the person and about the person you did wrong to. So to publicize your bad actions, when you do it with a broken heart, is very effective, very powerful, and required as part of the tshuva process. V'chol mizga'eh, again, one more time, we get back, gaiva, mizga'eh. V'eino modia, if you're too proud, and you won't admit your mistakes, el mechaseh p'sha'av, but rather you kind of cover up, you kind of hide your mistakes, ain't shuvasa gemura, that is not considered shuvah gemura. As it says, mechasep shav lo yatzeich. If you hide your crimes, you're not going to be successful. Again, this goes back to a very, very challenging point that we all have in our lives. Even when we make mistakes and we admit them, we usually dumb them down a little bit. We rarely admit everything we did wrong. We'll tell over what we did, like as a white lie, oh, I shouldn't have done that the following day. But we did much more than we actually admit to doing. If a person wants to do real tshuva, you have to confess everything that you did wrong. And you have to really, not only to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to even your peers, to even someone that wasn't involved in it at all. Again, you tell the person you did the wrong to or not, it's a big machlokas. But certainly it requires you not only not to hide anything, to be very vocal about what you did wrong. Now, but there's one clarification. When do we say these words? When do we say these words that you should do this? Only between you and your fellow man. But when it comes between you and God, you do not need to publicize it. You don't need to publicize what's between you and God. Now we have Allah's panim who ilo im gileim. And it's what's Allah's panim? You know what it means?
Brazen.
It's a brazen chutzpahdik act. Everyone gather around. Let me tell you what I did against God this past year. I violated Shabbos. You know, this is a very personal thing between you and God. You work on that between you and God. When it's between you and your fellow man, then you got to reveal it to the people that you harmed most. So if between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you only keep that between you and God. One sec, Judah. El Shabbos Ne'akel Baruch Hu Uporit Chat of the Fanav. You still do God, you admit it, but just to God. Umisva De'elim B'fnei Rabim Stam. And when you confess that you're a sinner, in quotes, you do it stam. Stam means more than casually. What does it mean, stam? More similar, just because. What does it mean, stam? Here it means without going through details. I did something wrong. I apologize for what I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm sure we have it with our friends. When in Torah Chagah, the custom is Rav Miller goes and speaks about first he gives all a bracha, which is a beautiful bracha on Yom Kippur, which I love every year hearing from Rav Miller. You know, in lieu of your parents being here, he gives you a bracha. And then he says, the custom of the yeshiva is, and remember, we walk around and we wish everyone, you know, we hope you mochel us, and, you know, you should have a gemar chasima tova. So everyone's looking at, like, I got to go to that guy. You know, we all go to everyone, but I really got to go to that guy. And you make your business to go to that guy. Because you know what you did to that guy wrong. But the problem is there, you do it stam. If I did anything wrong, you mochel me? Of course. Well, I'm sure you did anything wrong. Yeah, I'm sure I didn't. You know, I certainly did. But I'm sure I didn't either. But in case I did, hope you'll forgive me. So that idea over here is that doesn't really work. It's not really true. I mean, it's true, but it's not true for Gemura. It requires you to pull your friend aside and say, listen, I'm not only coming to you like everyone else. I'm coming to you because I actually wronged you. You don't know this, but I took 10 shekel the other day, and I didn't tell you about it. I didn't mean to. I forgot about it, but I borrowed it without asking you for it first, or whatever it might have been. You're supposed to, with your friend, you're supposed to do it real. You're supposed to be not specific about it. When it comes to God's Baruch Hu, you keep it like kind of more general. You're not supposed to publicize what you've done wrong. One second, just someone gets you in a minute. V'tova hilo shonis gal abono. Not that, but it's better you don't reveal it in that case. As it says, Ashrei nasui pesha kisui chata. Praise is the one who kind of hides and shields his crimes. Yeah, what's your question?
Is that saying you don't have to admit to everyone what you did against God, or you just should?
You should not publicly. You'd say stam. You've done things wrong. And to God, you are poray, but to everyone else, it's brazen to describe your crimes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's brazen.
You shouldn't tell, Shana'al's kid, shouldn't tell him what you've done in your bed.
If you're telling it to him not to confess, but to share with him experiences in life and how to get better at it, so that's one thing. But the tshuva process does not demand, not only that, does not expect you, and it's inappropriate for you to publicly discuss what you did against God. But you're right. As a learning technique, if I can share with you what I did wrong, because I want to share with you what we work on, how you work on things, and certainly that's not a problem. The Rambam didn't mean that. Actually, I'll tell you, I remember from Ben Sugarman many years ago in Boca Raton, Florida. He told me that if you look at the crimes of Yehuda's two children, so the first one, you know, when they slept with Tamar, the first one didn't want to impregnate her because she was too beautiful. And the Torah there does not describe what he did wrong. It says that Hashem kills him, doesn't say why. The next one didn't want to continue his brother's name, it says. And the Torah there describes what he did do wrong. So why is the Torah treating him differently? So the Rosh Hashanah, this is the pshat. The pshat is that the first one is something other than lamakum. He didn't want, he spilled his seed because he didn't want to make his wife look so less beautiful than she was. And therefore, that's against God. And therefore, that we kept more stung. But the next one was against his brother. He didn't want to continue it says that he didn't care to continue for his brother's sake, for whatever reason it was. And therefore, the Torah does publicize it because Ben Adam L'Chaver, he's supposed to publicize it. Interesting take he had on it. Okay. Here's a very, very important point, and some people do not understand this point, and including myself, it's hard to understand. You can do tshuva whenever you want. Tshuva is always available for a person to do. So why are we such a focus on Aseret Mitzvah? So Afal Pisha, tshuva v'atza'aka yafel olam. It's true, tshuva and tza'aka is good. Olam means all the time. Whenever you feel it, you can go to God and reach out. But when it comes to the tshuva, between the 10 days, the tshuva that's done between Aseret Mitzvah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's yafel b'yoser, it's very significant. Umiyad he miskabels, and it's received immediately. It's immediately accepted by God. We mentioned before, assuming that what? Remember we had before the whole list of things that you get a tshuva for right away, only if what? Remember what it was?
The lowest level
was what? Was the lowest level? And remember? The crimes that you do of the bittul asa, you missed the mitzvah asa. There we said, all requires is the moment you do tshuva, you're figuring right away. We said, if it's a lowest asa, that does not have attached to it. You remember? Misar kares, what do you have to wait for there? What's that? Or Shavu Shav or Sheker. There you wait for? By Tshuva plus Yom Kippur. That works. What's the next level we had? Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Kares. And there it requires? No. And remember? Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin. And challenges in life to be Makabal. You know what? I don't know what's going on here, but Makabal comes, Baruch, Gemara, Baruch, you guys did last year, you guys will do this year. We see this idea of Yisurin, Yisurin Shalava. There's an idea of going through sufferings, difficulties. I'd be makabal them and the schar that comes along with them. And the fourth and final one, Chil Hashem, and there?
Misa.
Good. Not good. Not good to do it, but correct that you got that right. As it says, Dir Shu Hashem Behi Matzo, Kerub Yoso Karav. Seek out God when He is found, call out to Him when He is close. During this period of time, these 10 days, Kadosh Baruch Hu always can be found. But there are some times when He's mamish right there. The mashal I'll bring down to you is, you know, here we are staying at a hotel. What if you wanted to make an appointment to meet with some big gadol? And it's hard to find time. It's hard to catch him. And if you do catch him, it's in his own, in his home, and there's people waiting around. Well, what would happen if we went tomorrow to 7:30 minion, and that gadol is davening with our minion? He happens to be davening there. At the end of davening, his chassidim aren't around, his talmidim aren't around, and we can just go right over to him. Kadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseret Mitzvah is davening in our minion with us. It doesn't require great appointments. His mom is right there, and therefore you can anything you want. He's in a vacation mode. He's here on vacation with us, and therefore you can have anything you want to ask him, and it's just much easier to be granted. Now it's true if you ever are able to get in your heart that moment of despair and turn to God and beg Him, no matter when you do it, it always can work. But particularly in this period of time, you don't even need to get in that mode. He's right there. It's vacation time. He's found in shul with you. You just turn to Him and say, "Can I get a minute of your time? I have something to ask the Rav, to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu." And if you do that, anything works in that period of time. He's b'yoso karov, k'ru'u b'so karov. Now, when you say these words, that's dafka when you're on your own. You're asking a personal favor from God. Aval b'tzibor is very important also. Kol zman she'osin tshuva v'tzolkin b'lev shalom he'ne'anim. If you ever have a community-wide event, tshuva by the community, it's not limited to my own personal thing, but we as a community want to work on ourselves, and we go, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, every day is Yom Kippur. If that happens, every day is very much true. If that happens, if the community gets together and with full heart believes shalom, which is hard to do, that everyone has a leiv shalom, it's very hard to do. But if something was going on in the community and everyone had a leiv shalom like that, then every day is Yom Kippur for the community. As it says, Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kor'einu elav. Whenever we call out to Him in plural, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. Just an important point, and maybe we'll do one more halacha and we'll stop. There's we'll get the Rambam later on who discusses this case, this discussion. But there's an idea that not only is it easy to tshuva during that period of time, but a lack of tshuva in those 10 days is like a chutzpah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was there in the room, and some people are going over to him and asking favors, and you don't go over to him. No, I'm fine. I'm good. The lack of tshuva for a person in that period of time is a very, very brazen move. Again, if you don't need it, you don't need it. If you're at that guy, there's a story from Shlomo Zalman Orach, a little story about him. That when most people when they pass away, so a loved one, it could be a child, it could be a spouse, will go to the kever and ask for mechila from the person who passed away. If anyone here went to Rabbi Zinkin's father's funeral the other day, so the Chevra Kedisha did it on their behalf. The Chevra Kedisha, on behalf of the family, asked for mechila and slicha from the mace if anything would have gone wrong in the burial process. But usually the people, the elders do it as well. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbech, when he buried his wife, he said, I'm not going to ask for mechila because I never did anything wrong to my wife. It's not arrogant. It's not being arrogant. He's saying a fact that he never one time did anything to his wife that required mechila. That's crazy.
He doesn't know that.
What?
Does he know that?
He knows. Because he knows how much either she told him or he knows himself very well. I know about myself, I probably ask Mechila every day for my wife for things that I didn't do properly. I didn't answer a phone call, I wasn't sensitive to her difficulty in work, whatever, I can ask Mechila for. But for a person to say to himself, like, you know, we're good, like, I don't need to ask Mechila, that's very confident, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. If that's who you are, that's who you are. But a person who needs tshuva, and in these 10 days doesn't go and ask for Mechila, that's very serious. And it could even be considered a crime in of itself. He's right here. He knocks on the door. Need anything from me? No, I'm good. Thanks, God. You know, just have a good... The guy next to me, though, he knocked on his door because that guy really needs to ask some questions. I'm good. We're good. So that's a very serious thing. And besides the fact that it's a mitzvah and it's helpful to call it in this period of time, if you do not do so, that's also a very serious thing as well. Halacha Zayin, with this one we'll stop. Yom Kippurim, whose man tshuva l'chol yachid, l'chol liyachid l'rabin. V'ukeit b'chilim v'sichel l'Yisrael. Yom Kippur is the time set aside for individuals and communities, and it's the designated time for Mechila and Slicha for Yisrael. Lefichach, Chayavin Akol Lasos Tshuva Lizvados B'Yom Kippurim. Everyone is obligated to, it's the mitzvah on Yom Kippur to seek out God and do tshuva and be vidui. Mitzvah vidui Yom Kippurim Shiaskam Erev Yom Kippur Kodem Shiochal. And the mitzvah vidui starts actually ironically. It doesn't start in Yom Kippur; it starts Erev Yom Kippur. Anybody ever notice in Mincha Yom Kippur we have a longer davening? We don't have any other holiday, I guess, ever, where before the holiday, we actually do tefillah of the holiday, mincha time before it even starts. What's pshat? It's a fascinating pshat. Listen to what he says, why? Shema yichanek b'su'udah kodem shizvadeh. We're afraid you're going to die during Shulim HaFsekes before you have the chance to do vidui. Wow. It's pretty, like, far out concern. What's pshat with that? Pshat with that is that the Yetzer Hara understands that you're about to go right now, and you're about to have the tefillah of your life. You're about to go right now, and you're going to charge the gates. And you're going to dial HaKadosh Baruch Hu so strongly that right now he knows that if he wants a chance to get you, he's got to bring all of his claims against you right now before you go into Yom Kippur. We're afraid if you get to Suzma Sekis, and you haven't asked Vito yet, the Yitzhar has a power, as a koach. I'm going to be able to study if how many people died, I don't know if it's true or not. But we have the custom of doing Vito area of Yom Kippur. We're so worried about this happening. We do Vito, we have part of Yom Kippur davening and area of Yom Kippur, just in case.
Wouldn't he then... Do this, like, beforehand, like,
right, you expect it to be able to be... So I'll tell you this is a we'll get that one in a minute, but there's actually this question we could ask for many things, but I'll ask for one of them. I don't know about the Sephardic minhag, but the Ashkenaz minhag is that we blow shofar the entire Elul, except for Erev Rosh Hashanah.
To confuse the
Sutton. When it confuses Sutton. So Sutton, you know... He's been doing this for a long time. He's good, and he's very good at it. He's very good at it. Wouldn't you expect that the Satan, at some point in time, should pick up on this fact? I'm not falling for it again. No, I did it last year. At some point, you expect him to... Exactly. Right? Exactly. So you expect him sometime to pick up on this one and be able to, like...
Maybe he keeps calling them.
What's that?
Maybe he keeps calling them. I'm not going to do this year.
So I'll give you a... I think what Eitan's like, actually, even though he may say it's a joke, I'm going to give a shot, which I think may be somewhat what Eitan didn't really mean, but we'll pretend he means it. There's a... There's a general concept that we have that the 30 days makes something habitual, makes it a habit, and it makes it like, you know, sometimes whatever you're doing wears off. For example, anyone have a halacha for 30 days where you have this halacha like this? It's a halacha, 30 days. It's actually a halacha. What's that?
Mashiva Ro.
Excellent. Mashiva Ro from Yigashim. So that's a stam nazir, we say 30 days. Not because it wears off. So that's the rule. If you don't think of it, that's the period of time we give you is 30 days. Not because it wears off, though. But Mashiva Ro from Yigashim. The rule is that we assume if a person's not sure if he said Mashiva Ro from Yigashim or not, if you don't remember if he said what he said in davening, if you've been saying it for 30 days already, we can assume you said it. It becomes second nature already. It becomes part of you. 30 days is a time when something becomes like part of the routine already. So, and I'll tell you a story, the Gemara in Gittin brings down, if you ever remember the Gemara in Gittin, if you ever learned it during Tisha B'Av, it's one of the few things you learned in Tisha B'Av, it's a story about the Churban. So in that Gemara there's a story of Titus HaRasha, who, you know, when he went to take all the spoils, the Mikdash, to destroy the Beis Mikdash, he went to take the spoils, and he was in the waters, and the waters get very, very choppy. And his boat was about to be overturned, he's going to die at sea. And he turns to God and says, oh, okay, I know it's true, in the sea I'm very vulnerable. And you can take me in the sea. After all, I know you did other things in the sea. You're the god of the sea. Bet you I can take you on dry land then. So give me a chance. Let's see what you're doing to me in dry land. So God's like, you know, okay. And he sailed the seas. And he just landed on dry land. And up his nose flew a little mosquito or a little flea. And it started to buzz around in his head. And he's like in tremendous, tremendous pain. And it started to eat away at his brain. And the story at the end, when he dies in the end, we'll get to that in a minute, spoiler, he dies in the end, is that the fleet was the size of a big bird. It had eaten his brain up so much. But while he's like sitting there with a buzz in his head and, you know, and trying to figure out how to get rid of it, he walks by a blacksmith banging, you know, iron on iron. And for that moment, the buzz stopped. And he's like, whoa. And he walked past it, and the buzz started again. And he's like, you know, walks back again, and the buzz stops. Passed, and it started. So he hired a blacksmith to follow him around everywhere he went, and just bang. While he's sleeping, just bang. Bang, for, you know, all the time. And he hired someone, and it worked for 30 days. But after 30 days, the mosquito got used to it. And it started to buzz again, and nothing to do, it stopped it, and then eventually ate his brain up. 30 days is a period of time that represents a person, like, having a focus on something, and once 30 days are up, back to the norm again. What do we do? We go and we blow shofar. 29 days. And we stop. And we stop. For one of two reasons. Either because we don't want ourselves to get used to the blast. Or, this is the idea of the Yetzer Hara. What the Yetzer Hara should think about us, and does it every single year, because it really is true, is that there they did again. You know, they blow shofar so much, and they got like tired of it. And he's gonna go against you. He's still going to bring a court case against you, but he's bringing a court case against a guy who's like that guy who always tires of his tshuva. He's used to it already. He doesn't realize that we're going to come full force the next day. Rosh Hashanah time comes, we're going to come full force. Maybe every year you expect to see differently. Every year you follow the same trick. And the answer is yeah. Because every year in our year, we're always like this. In our year, we're always starting things, New Year's resolution, getting used to it, and stopping it again. So it's really not so far-fetched that we would actually fall and make the same mistake every single year. But that's where he goes wrong. Every year he's wrong about this. Because the truth is, even though it's true, we're going through a difficult time, and we're trying our hardest, and over and over again, you might think we get used to it and stop davening with appropriate kavanah. When it comes to the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time period for the Jewish people, usually, we're able to bring our A game. He only thinks we bring our C game, because he thinks we got tired of it. We're bringing our A game to Rosh Hashanah. The Yetzer Hara is not prepared for the challenge he's going to face every single time, even though he knows that this happens every year. He assumes that it's true that we really fail prey again, because we do all the time in the year. We do fall prey to such things. Let me finish the halacha, and then I'll get a question after your question, or no? No. Halacha says, the best halacha says as follows. Here's also an interesting point. Even though we just now said we do the Vidoy and Erev Yom Kippur. Chozer is Vada Vilei Yom Kippurim. Arvis. Why are we doing Yom Kippur? Why are we doing it again? Why am I hitting my heart again? I just did it. What do I do in the Sudum of Sekas? I'm going to sit in the Sudum of Sekas. I'm pretty good in this period of time. Why am I doing Vidoy again? And then again. Chozer is Vada Vishachris. Uva Musaf. Uva Mincha Uva Ne'ila. The odds are, again, I don't know everyone for sure, but the odds are that we did not do anything wrong. Hopefully, a Yom Kippur. We're pretty good at Yom Kippur time, at least. What am I doing Vidoy for again? Why am I doing Vidoy again? People ask this question when it comes to the Slach Lana we do after Yom Kippur. Marev, Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur, Marev, Lana Vidoy Kichatanu. What? We just finished the Ilah. What could I possibly have done between the Ilah? No, and in Torah Trag, what we do in Gros, they dance around the Bima. What do? You step on someone's toe?
Oh, it's beginning of the year. Start
more of
that's when it starts.
But I'm doing what I'm saying. Slach Lanu Yikichatanu. What did I do wrong just since then? What did I do wrong in the last 5 minutes? 12 minutes? Since Yom Kippur ended, and I Hashem Lula came 7 times and asked Shuvah and begged the Kodesh Baruch Hu, danced around Shalom Abim Yerushalayim, we danced around, and we sat down to Amar. I'm saying already, Slach Lanu Yikichatanu. So there's 2 pshat that I've heard. One pshat is probably the right answer. It's called a low plug. What does a low plug mean? Right. Meaning when I have a certain nusach of tefillah, it's my nusach. Whether or not you said something wrong, you didn't say anything wrong, it's a nusach. So we say it no matter what. It's option one. Option number two is you said many Shem Hashem since Marav started. You know, that Shema we have afterwards, we're tasting that ruglach downstairs, right? We're tasting the, what else we have in Torah Shag and what's it?
Fruit.
Cake. Fruit, cake, whatever it is, water. The water. So we're already distracted. OJ? We're distracted already from the upcoming meals, and we said Hashem's name a few times already. We probably said one of them without proper kavanah. Over here, same thing as well. There's 2 options. Either it's a low plug, but probably more likely is how many of us, we do it, we have a lot of kavanah in our tefillah, but how many of us actually, we have proper kavanah for each part of that? And I'll say even more than that, we'll get to later on, I don't think we'll see it tonight, but Heicham is vada, when do we do tshuva? When do we actually do the vidoy? Yachid achar tefillah. So the Yachid says it after he says Brechas Moishah Bashalom, Hiratzon Imrifi. Then we do vidoy. And we know the Sheikh Tzibur does the emphasis tefillah so berechas revius in the fourth bracha, which means the bracha, the first bracha, I guess, of the only bracha they have besides the first three. The next bracha we have, it's the bracha unique to the special bracha of that day. So before that, we end that bracha. In the middle of that bracha, we do the vidui. Just as a stop over here. We'll continue. Blineder, I owe you from Ches. Oh, I said I want to finish tonight, but I didn't finish tonight. But Blineder, we'll finish this parak Sunday. Finish parak Sunday. Okay, we got to cover some ground more. Okay, have a great evening.